Welcome to Audio Notes. I'm Patrick Castillo, and I have the pleasure of introducing you to this summer's Carte Blanche Concerts, Music at Menlo's signature series of artist-curated recitals. Music at Menlo's 2016 season, Russian Reflections, explores the dialogue between Russia and the West, from which a rich tradition of Russian classical music emerged. Each main stage concert program illuminates that tradition by juxtaposing music by Russian composers with works by their Western counterparts. This summer's Carte Blanche Concert Series complements the season-long exploration of Russian music with four all-Russian recital programs. Pianist Alessio Bax presents the first Carte Blanche Concert, The Russian Piano. Carte Blanche Concert 2, The Russian Violin, features the return of violinist Alexander Sitkovetsky, joined by pianist Wu Qian in her Music at Menlo debut. The third program of the series marks another exciting festival debut, as the Kalidor Quartet presents the Russian String Quartet. And the Carte Blanche series concludes with the Russian Cello, performed by Music at Menlo's artistic directors David Finkel and Wu Han. Music at Menlo's artistic directors, cellist David Finkel and pianist Wu Han, conclude this summer's Carte Blanche concerts on Sunday, July 31, with the Russian Cello.
Well, fortunately for the cello, Russia had a very distinguished history of pedagogy and composition.
David Finkel.
You can go back, of course, into the mid-19th century, where you find the first great virtuosi inspiring composers like Tchaikovsky. Among them was a guy named Brandukov, who was a friend of Rachmaninoff, for whom Rachmaninoff wrote his great cello sonata of 1901. Brandukov was also a friend of Tchaikovsky. So these people all knew each other. They studied with the same teachers. Brandukov taught the great Gregor Piatigorsky. So they're all connected by lineage and composers and whatever. And then, of course, you get into the 20th century and you have more great cellists, among them my teacher Rostropovich, who was, of course, the greatest inspirer of composers among instrumentalists, probably who ever lived. Shostakovich wrote works for him, but the Shostakovich sonata that we'll play from 1934 was composed when Rostropovich was only 7 years old, something like that. So he was a little young. But there was a cellist named Kubatsky who was friends with Shostakovich. Shostakovich was only 28 years old when he wrote the sonata, and he was serving as Kubatsky's accompanist on a tour. And so they decided that they would, you know, make a new cello sonata. It must have been a very tough time to tour around Russia in 1934. The whole collectivization thing had been started in 1930, and then there was famine, and there was a lot of trouble. And also, 34 was the beginning of what was known as the Great Purge by Stalin, where he basically eliminated everybody that he thought could maybe be against him. It was a tough time. It was a tough time for Shostakovich personally, because he also had an affair with a student during the summer, and his wife found out about it, and it was a big mess. And eventually they made up. But this sonata actually contains some of the most beautiful music that I think Shostakovich ever composed. And there are some very wild parts in it as well that I think remind one of the turbulence of his personal life and, of course, the life of Russia, Soviet Union at that time. And then representing our age of today is the sonata written for Wu Han and me to play by Lara Auerbach.
Russian-American composer Lara Auerbach was born in 1973 in Chelyabinsk, a city in the Urals, bordering Siberia. In 1991, while still in her teens, She defected from the Soviet Union during a concert tour and subsequently earned her bachelor's and master's degrees from the Juilliard School. In addition to her musical career, Lara Auerbach is also an accomplished writer. Her works comprise 5 volumes of poetry and prose, which are staples of modern literature classes throughout Russian high schools and universities. In 1996, the International Pushkin Society named her Poet of the Year.
Lara was also in her late 20s, I think maybe 29 years old, when she wrote the sonata for us in 2002. She is a kind of a stylistic disciple of both Shostakovich and Alfred Schnittke, I would say. Her music is very powerful, very challenging, but in a good way. It's very accessible. It's very exciting. It's very beautiful. And it can be very disturbing. I won't hide that from our listeners. She is an incredibly compelling musical figure. She is also an esteemed poet, having won the Pushkin Prize in Russia before she defected, I believe at the age of 17. She is eloquent in her words. If one reads, and I hope we will provide the program note that she wrote about this sonata, which goes into her having read a novel by Hermann Hesse, and in the piece there are characters from the novel, and it's all incredibly dramatic. That's definitely worth reading because you get to know Lara through her words before you even hear her music. Decided to commission Lara on the advice of the esteemed pianist Joseph Kalickstein of the Kalickstein Laredo Robinson Piano Trio, who told us at the Aspen Music Festival, probably around the year 2000, he told us of this young woman who was a piano student of his at Juilliard at the time and said, "She's the real thing." I remember his very words. And we very soon found out that Lara really is the real thing. When she had finished the sonata, she said, "Can I come over and play it for you?" So we said, "Great." And she came over to our house, sat down at the piano, put the music in front of her, and proceeded to sing through the cello part while playing the piano part. And Wuhan and I sat there transfixed. It was one of the most hair-raising things that we ever went through. And when she was finished, I think even she was drained emotionally from the experience, as were we. But I think it's something that has communicated to audiences in every performance that we've given of this piece. So it's one of our favorite new works in the repertoire that we're proud to say we had a hand in. After the intermission, we are going to throw in a short piece by Alexander Glazunov called Song of a Minstrel. It's originally for cello and orchestra, but he made this reduction for the piano, so we feel justified in performing it. It's a very small piece, but it's very nostalgic. It's kind of sad. It makes one think of, you know, the plight of the traveling minstrel singing for people, traveling under difficult circumstances, not making much money, but it's beautifully poignant and very picturesque. And once again, like this program does, I think it transports the listener to that incredibly vast space we know as Russia. Concluding our program will be the Big Sonata of 1901 by Sergei Rachmaninoff. It is his last chamber music composition, which is tragic in a way because he lived all the way into the 1940s. But it's a masterpiece. It's a great way station on the romantic cello sonata line of works, going all the way back to the sonata by Frédéric Chopin. It was composed during the same time that he composed his second piano concerto. Everybody knows the second piano concerto. Everybody loves the second piano concerto. And that piece was premiered just about a month before the cello sonata. And it was such a success that it kind of wiped out people knowing about and hearing about the cello sonata. But the cello sonata did grow in popularity, especially because cellists were hungry for such music. And it's such an incredibly beautiful piece. One should also note about this time in Rachmaninoff's life that he was coming out of a severe depression that resulted from the disastrous premiere of his first symphony in 1897, from which he barely recovered, but eventually did with the help of hypnotherapy. And he came out, his hypnotist having told him, "You will write great music." And the person was right. He did write great music. He wrote the second symphony, the second piano concerto, and this cello sonata all in a very short period of time. The sonata is in four large movements. The first begins with a slow introduction that kind of tells people, you know, sit down. I need to tell you a long, sad story. And many Russian stories are long and sad. This one is not all sad, but it has that feeling about it from the beginning. It takes you to another time and place, and it's very, very riveting. The second movement is a scherzo that's like, it's like a great Russian snowstorm. Things blow about. There's some warm fires to sit beside in the middle of it. But in general, it's a very windy, blustery movement, much like, if you know it, the scherzo movement of the Second Symphony. The third movement is the slow movement. It's probably just one of the most beautiful pieces in the cello repertoire. It's a favorite of audiences, and Wuhan and I actually perform it quite often as an encore by itself. It vacillates magically between minor and major harmonies. So basically it's in E flat major, but the presence of F sharps all the time give it this minor tinge, kind of like the sun going behind clouds and coming in and out, or a little rain, a little sun. So it has this beautiful, nostalgic, semi-melancholy quality that is very, very touching. And the last movement is exuberant, triumphant. The key changes to G major, and the sonata finishes in quite a blaze of glory that usually leaves audiences leaping to their feet.
Audio Notes is authored and produced by Patrick Castillo and narrated by David Finkel, Patrick Castillo, and Wu Han. Additional mastering is provided by Dahong Situ. Musical excerpts on this disc appear courtesy of the following artists and organizations: Scriabin's Piano Sonata No. 3, Mussorgsky's Hopak, and Rachmaninoff's Kreisler Transcriptions, performed by Alessio Bax, and Stravinsky's Petrushka, performed by Alessio Bax and Lucille Chung, appear courtesy of Signum Classics. Stravinsky's Suite Italienne, performed by Mihai Marika and Anne-Marie McDermott, and Rachmaninoff's two movements for string quartet, performed by the Escher Quartet, appear courtesy of the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center. Desyatnikov's Wie der alte Leiermann, performed by Roman Mintz and Jacob Katznelson, appears courtesy of Quartz Records. Prokofiev's Violin Sonata No. 1, performed by Gidon Kramer and Martha Argerich, and Prokofiev's String Quartet No. 2 and Shostakovich's String Quartet No. 2, performed by the Emerson Quartet, appear courtesy of Deutsche Grammophon. Stravinsky's three pieces for String Quartet, performed by the Escher Quartet, appears courtesy of Music at Menlo Live. Shostakovich's Cello Sonata, Lara Auerbach's Cello Sonata, and Rachmaninoff's Cello Sonata are performed by David Finkel and Wu Han. Glazunov's Song of the Minstrel, performed by Jamie Walton and the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Ako Kamu, appears courtesy of Hyperion Records. Audio Notes is a copyrighted production of Artist Led.